Blog Talk Radio.
No. Try this. Try that. Calm down. Welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
Do you know what that music was?
No.
Steely Dan FM.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
cool.
Fucking moops. That's all I could think about today while I was watching the confirmation hearings. Fucking moops.
You watched those, huh?
No. I actually watched about 5 minutes, and all I could sit there and say was, okay, I'm not sure which moron I'm going to hate more, the Republicans or the Democrats.
Exactly.
because even, you know, people were saying Sessions was doing this great grilling of her, and I started watching some of his stuff, and I'm going like, this is grilling?
Really?
You know, it's more like poached eggs. What kind
yeah.
of crap is this?
Yeah, exactly. Although, she came out with some stuff today that I just caused my jaw to drop. I mean, she would not comment on, or at least implied that, the government has a right to tell you what to eat. I'm saying, really? My goodness. Under the Commerce Clause, huh? Okay, fine. I mean, apparently that Commerce Clause covers a multitude of sins.
That Commerce Clause, according to the Supreme Court and the Democrats, means that the United States government can monitor your breathing.
Yeah. Excuse me while I exhale some CO2 here.
I don't get it, you know. No, you
yeah.
know. But see, I have the same problem with the 14th Amendment, too. You know, it does lots of really good things, but it also gives the government a whole lot of, you know, ability to step into places it don't belong into.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. I know. I mean, you know, we got some good news out of the court this week. Apparently, the Second Amendment is, in fact, a fundamental right and, too, does apply to state municipalities. The bad news of that was a 5-4 decision.
Which is just, you know, it's not that it's one. First of all, it's not surprising. I don't think anybody in their right mind was surprised that it was a 5-4 decision.
Nope.
Because, frankly, I wasn't certain that Kennedy would actually, you know, had the balls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yep. But, you know, because for him to for them to reach that decision, they basically had to raise their nose and plug their ears to 100 years of liberal absolutism.
Yes, absolutely.
The liberals going, this absolutely has nothing to do with individual rights.
Yep.
Except for the fact that, you know, there's no such thing as anything else but individual rights. So,
well, that's true.
Somebody might argue with me this week, earlier on this week or over the weekend, about the idea that there are group rights. And I'm sitting like going, group rights? What the hell are you talking about group rights? No group rights.
What the hell is a group right?
I have no idea what a group right is. No group
maybe
it, right.
Maybe they meant, maybe they misspoke and that's a grope right or something. I don't know.
I'm just sitting there like going, it's a group right?
Yeah, really?
But of course, you know who had said it, and he doesn't believe that there are individuals. Apparently, we are all just common cogs.
I see. Part of the board,
we are
huh?
Interchangeable person. Individualism is a myth. It doesn't
really
exist in reality. Yeah, you know, this is a person that suggests that my grasp of reality is somewhat tenuous.
I see.
That would suggest
okay.
that he doesn't have an idea of what reality is to begin with.
Exactly.
I think the decision's there. I haven't read it yet. My intention is to read it, and I'm kind of interested in to see how they got there. you know, Mayor Daley in Chicago was disappointed.
Yeah, really.
Now, how are we going to protect the citizens?
Yeah, really.
I know. Did you see my comment about how I thought we could use, how we could effectively use the Second Amendment to eliminate gun crime?
I don't think I saw that.
I suggested that we give everybody concealed carry permits, a free gun, and 3 hours of training.
There you go.
I think we'd eliminate most gun crime pretty much right away.
Yeah, for those that are interested, the most important thing is keep your eyes on the front sight. Oh, boy, okay.
My only rule about I ever have guns is the same one that's been talked about for, you know, 150 years. If you take the gun out of the holster, use it.
Yep. That's kind of like the old thing about swords. You never put it back in unbloodied.
Right.
Yep.
No. If you're going to unsheath it, use it.
That's right.
That was my father's teaching. You know, never get into a fight unless you're planning on finishing it standing up.
Yep. Yeah. Good advice.
So,
good advice. You betcha.
And that's from a guy that's 5'3½" and weighs 145 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, right.
My father's had to go into more of those fights, you know, believing he was going to end up standing up. My father didn't always finish his fights standing up.
Yeah, well,
but more people were surprised by my father than were unsurprised.
Attack.
Yeah, you know.
Yep.
My father was like so many other men like him that, you know, at 5'3½", 5'4", 130, 135 pounds, there wasn't an ounce of fat on him, and
mm-hmm.
it was all rock solid.
Yep.
You just did not screw with the fact that, you know, this was not going to be some little panty waist thing. This was going to be a pit bull that was going to be
mm-hmm.
unpleasant to be around.
Yeah.
My father.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So, and of course, when basically all of his kids turned out to be bigger, not just taller, but bigger.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
he just, you know, my parents just looked at it and went, wow. I got three brothers that are taller than me, and I'm almost about 5'9".
Cool.
You know, Anne is only about 5'6". Elizabeth's just under 5 foot tall. She's the shortest one out of the bunch. You know, so the three of us went in kind of an odd range, but, you know, the boys were all right around 6 foot tall. And so when you have parents that are under 5 foot five, it's just, you know, it's kind of interesting to see a whole bunch of big kids like that.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case, speaking about panty waist men, I only want to make one little comment about Al Gore.
Oh, let me see. Sex crazed poodle.
You saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Crazed poodle.
That must have been a toy poodle.
Man pig and sex crazed poodle. I'm like, yeah. Neither one of those are, in fact, good things to be called.
No, that's true.
The reason I bring it up is because I hate to say this, but my esteemed partner, Juris Doctorate, highly educated partner, is a big fan of the National Enquirer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she loves. Got to have a rag.
Cool.
And the man, boy, pig, sexy, sex-crazed poodle was actually gracing the cover of the National Enquirer. And the one thing that I wanted to ask, because one of the things I haven't paid attention to was, when did this happen? Now, they said about 2 years ago. But I was kind of wondering, well, wait a second, 2 years ago, well, when was he getting his Nobel Prize and his Oscar? Wasn't that around 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually turned out that it was like late 06, beginning of 07, and that is, in fact, right when he was getting Nobel Prize and his Oscar. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's probably why they sat on the story.
Well, of course.
Didn't want to disturb that at the time.
No. That's a Nobel Prize, for God's sake.
This whole thing leads into something that most of you probably haven't paid any attention to. If you read the blogs, this is actually a pretty big deal, but in the mainstream press, and even in the talk show press, talk show circuits, I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't seen too much of it on here, but in the blogs, it's pretty big. Do you know about Journalist?
Yes. Yep.
Okay, for those of you that don't know, apparently a super secret, by invitation only, online listserv, which is, you know, basically a, you know, private online community, was started by, they called it center and left-leaning journalists. Yeah.
Yeah,
they basically
right.
was really far left and mostly, oh my God, left.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Journalists, about 300 or 400 journalists in print and video and audio medias. And they were, there was a certain amount of, now, I don't think, it's been apparently like 3 years this list is in existence, but I don't think anybody heard too much about it until about a year and a half ago. And then about 7 or 8 months ago, it got some serious notice, so that people knew that it was going on. A lot of people wanted to know what's going on. Well, apparently there's been a little bit of a blow-up with one or two of the people that were on that list, and more information has come out than was supposed to. What's rather interesting about it is Andrew Breitbart, I don't know if I ever say that, who is getting to be the conservative media guy for all kinds of reasons, has offered $100,000 for the archive of the Journalist.
Yeah.
He's going to get it. My bet is he's going to get it. And when he gets that, I'm almost 100% certain I will going to get it.
Wow.
I think he's going to get it, but it won't be a perfect archive.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. I, you know, what he's going to get is he's going to get it slightly sanitized from whoever offers it. But I got a hunch he's probably going to get offers from about 4 or 5 people that have done that. Sanitized their own stuff out of there. And in which case, he'd probably be really smart to go ahead and pretend that he's got only one copy of it and buy 3 of them.
Ah.
And then he's likely to have gotten the complete set from that point. What we're likely to see there is how much mainstream media works on their talking points before getting out into the street.
Oh, absolutely.
So
I mean, we can almost adduce that without even confirmation from that, simply from how coincidental it is that the same points come up from multiple journalists all on the same day. And it's like, gee, you all arrived at those conclusions independently, huh? Okay,
yeah.
Fine.
You know, it's rather interesting when I get into a lot of debates with people, how many people call in, well, these other people agree with me.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
You know,
exactly,
both
yeah.
Other
yeah.
people agree with you. And
yeah.
I find it rather interesting because I never call in support. In discussions, I never call in support. I never claim these people agree with me or these people disagree with you. I absolutely don't do it.
Yeah.
And when you read some of these lefty blogs and some of the left mainstream media stuff, you know, it's a heavy-duty reliance upon, you know, I thought of this, but so did this person, and this person, so of course we must be all right.
Yeah. So we obviously are correct. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, I find that to be, it's not disingenuous. What I find it to be is lazy, cowardice crap.
Oh, yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Yep.
So this duplicity that goes on in the media is on also display with Kagan, which is rather interesting.
Oh, you think?
1995, she said that Supreme Court nominees were getting a pass because they were letting them answer questions along the lines of, I can't really comment on cases that might come before the Supreme Court.
Right.
Or I can't comment on cases that have already passed through the Supreme Court,
right.
You know, without, you know, for whatever reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, she found that to be, you know, all kinds of bullshit.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Of course, that's exactly what she's doing at this
point.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sitting in front of the thing. I just, you know, I would like her to be borked at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I would like somebody to stand up. You know, and just go after her like crazy,
mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that whoever does it is just going to get ripped.
Yes, they will.
by the left,
yeah.
for doing it as being unprofessional and
mm-hmm.
mean-spirited.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and I just when it if it happened, we just have to just start saying, well, he was borked, or she was borked. We're just going to say that he was borked. And that's all we need to do is just...
Exactly.
You know, anybody that comes across on this, you're being unprofessional. Him? He was just borking her. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, somebody was complaining to me today, you're mean. And I'm like, yeah, I just respond in kind. And they say, when everyone else is being immature, does that mean that you get to be immature? And I'm sitting like going, if you think for a second that I'm going to maintain a set of standards that puts me at a disadvantage to somebody that won't use any standards at all, you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't play that game.
Nah, I know.
I want GOP to not play that game.
Exactly. And the problem is, I mean, they show hints of it every now and again, and then somebody caves. Or multiple people cave. I mean, it's just...
There's somebody in the back room going, no, don't do that. You'll look bad in the press.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me, GOP, here's a news flash. You will always look bad in the press. Forget it. It doesn't matter. Jesus. Grow a brain.
Somebody said you're hateful, and I went, and?
Yeah. Yeah, right. And there's a problem with that? What?
Well, you like being hateful? No, but it serves the purpose at the right time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And here's the thing that is really bad about all that. When Sotomayor was up for confirmation, she said all the right things about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms. Oh, yeah, that's a right. Supreme Court has decided that. So what did she do? She joined the four in minority in saying, oh, no, that's not a fundamental right and shouldn't apply to the states and municipalities.
Duh.
So what she did was lie. We aren't pussyfooting around here. We aren't doing anything. We're saying she lied about what her beliefs were.
Flat out lied.
That's exactly right. Kagan is no different. Kagan has said, oh, yeah, she believes in the right to bear arms and all that kind of stuff. She lies. Pure and simple, she lies. That is not her belief. That is not what she will stand for. That is not what she will vote to uphold. So she will find every reason to legislate or regulate powder, cases, bullets, you name it, everything that can tear down that Second Amendment right. And for no other reason, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to oppose her, but for no other reason, lying to the Senate in these hearings ought to get her a filibuster.
Well, there's other things, too. My problem
is,
of course. You know, she also said today that that she thought that, you know, other foreign sources were reasonable places to go for inspiration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
You know, I was sitting like going, oh, since when?
Yeah, really? Let me see. You've sworn an oath to uphold these other rules and regulations or something, not the Constitution? What?
I'm just thinking that, you know, Iran wants to, you know, has just, their judicial courts have just sentenced a woman to stoning.
Yes.
Death by
absolutely.
Stoning.
Yep.
And the reason she has been sentenced to death by stoning is because she had sex with two men outside of marriage.
The fact that it was rape doesn't mean anything.
The fact that they were people that just murdered her husband and raped her.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently doesn't have anything to do with it.
Nothing whatsoever. Nope.
So, you know, I'm wondering, you know, does Kangan think that that's a place to go for inspiration, you know, on cruel and unusual punishment ideas?
Tracy, wait a second. That's a bad analogy. And it's a bad analogy because I can't imagine anyone having sex with her.
No.
Speaking strictly from a male standpoint, of course,
Well, strictly speaking from my point of view, no. I think we can eliminate approximately 90% of the population.
There you go.
Because there's about 10% of the liberals over there that would just bend down and kiss her ass. Okay. So Kagan, you know, there's lots of reasons why she deserves to be filibustered. I don't know that they're going to do it. Graham is literally drooling at the chance to prove his good bona fides to work with the Democrats. You know, there are certain Republicans that you just can't keep out of voting with Democrats for too long, otherwise they start getting nervous.
Oh, I know. I mean, you know, and it's really too bad. I mean, because they've got, if they really stop to think about it, they've got the winning argument. The problem is they want to impress the press. Another newsflash here, folks. The press is never going to love you, GOP, ever, under any circumstances.
I don't get it.
I don't either. I mean, God.
Okay. I mean, I understand. Kagan,
Harvard, and the military. I'm kicked them off campus. Well, if you want to interview students, you're going to have to do that off campus.
I think it's rather interesting is she said she was protecting the anti-discrimination policy of the campus. She was protecting the students, and I'm like, okay, you know, I hate to say this, but as far as I know, Harvard's not a preschool. Harvard's not a preschool.
No, they aren't.
And pretty much everybody that goes to Harvard, last I heard, could be wrong, you know, is an adult.
Yep. Yep. So I mean, there may be that child prodigy or two that's there. I don't know. But for the most part, yep, they're adults.
You know, of course, well, that's the liberal mindset. We must protect the people. We must protect them because they're stupid and they're little.
Yeah, that's right. Because we have not properly indoctrinated them yet.
I have realized that my cynicism has reached new heights. That, in fact, the vast majority of people that are walking around this planet are so stupid.
Could we even say brain dead?
Well, you know, they're walking, so there's
well,
at least
true.
Stem processing going on.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I really like to believe that there are rational, logical people on both sides of the political spectrum. And, you know, there are people that I follow on the left that are reasonable people. I don't agree with their opinions, and they don't agree with mine, but we get along, we can discuss things and have differences of opinion and not get all nuts about things. So, I mean, there are people on both sides, but come on. I'm sitting there like going, how many are you? I got mad at Rush today. I yelled at Rush today.
Oh, God, now what? What did Rush do?
Rush said that because there was no privacy explicitly enumerated in the Constitution, it didn't exist.
What?
That's what Barton said. It wasn't explicitly enumerated in the Constitution. You can get to privacy, privacy by the Fourth and Fifth, amendments, for protection from seizure and such like that. But he said, because it's not enumerated in the Constitution, it didn't exist. And I'm sitting like going, oh.
Yeah, really. Oh, really. Jeez.
So I had big letters on the screen.
Yeah.
Constitution doesn't give us one single solitary right. It doesn't have to be enumerated for it to exist.
Yeah, I know. People really do not understand rights and where they come from. I mean, they truly don't. and that's on our side of the aisle. I mean, side of the aisle is just like, it's whatever we say it is. But even our side of the aisle doesn't really understand it, which is a shame.
Butch Porter,
the
chairman of the board of directors of the American Conservative Party, has actually asked me to address that issue because it's one of the things that he gets dealt with a lot of times is that, this concept of where rights come from is a problem.
Yes, it is.
And he gets tired of having to, to fight the argument because most people, this is where Rush was going. This is where he came from in this discussion that went down this morning. That was earlier on this morning. Specifically said the problem was, that the right didn't exist because it wasn't in the Constitution. That the Supreme Court, pulled it out of thin air, made it up out of whole cloth. And I was sitting there like going, Butch came to me and said, I know this is something that you're interested in. It's something that you, tend to be passionate about. It. Is it something that you can address? And I said, well, funny you should ask. Because, and you know this, I think I've actually said it on the show. Maybe I have. I don't know if I've said it on the show. We've talked about it, probably in the green room for certain, about the fact that since last year, I have been working on a book on rights, not just on a historical perspective, but on a specific discussion and point of view of where rights come from in a way that doesn't dismiss out of hand the concept, they come from our Creator, which is just fine for people that, are Christian. But for the vast majority of the rest of the people, that don't work real good. Because, you know, what the good Lord can give, the good Lord can take, according to, you know, their pastors in the Southern Baptists.
Yeah.
Not to really pick on the Southern Baptists a whole lot, but they are tend to be pretty scriptural.
Yeah, well, now Bustero is a Southern Baptist, and he's kind of a reasonable guy.
Yeah. So the point is, and what Butch had latched on to was, I had said quite a while ago that I actually have a specific way to define the concept of where a right to privacy comes from. And that was where I had said, was that there is a right to privacy that that would be explicit in a way that would be simple to discuss with the average person.
Okay.
And I don't have to use the Constitution to do it, although the Constitution, Fourth and Fifth Amendments do certainly, you know, suggest the idea of a right to privacy. But I can take it a much step further. I'm going to use a little bit of time, because we actually have some time tonight.
Cool.
I'm going to use a little bit of time because I want to give you guys the starting premise.
Okay.
And I'm going to avoid, because this gets into a discussion that abortion becomes a primary part of, not in the sense of Roe v. Wade, but in a much more basic sense.
Mm-hmm.
Fundamentally, the right of privacy comes from the following. William, at some point in your life, you started thinking. Your physical brain, at some point in your life, in the history of your physical being, snapped to and began transmitting signals back and forth across itself. And eventually, one of those signals constituted a thought. Pretty rudimentary, pretty basic, not actually conveying any particular information. But as soon as that thought happened, something else happened. And what that something else was your body twitched. And for the first time in your existence, your body controlled, your brain controlled your body. That thought, that twitch in the brain, went completely unnoticed by anybody and everybody, except for its outward expression of kicking the inside of your mommy's tummy.
Okay.
Sometime after that, after a significantly more numbers of twitching and unformed thoughts, the thoughts became more coherent, more attuned to actual actions with respect to your physical existence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got popped into the bright, loud, and cold world.
Yeah.
And for the first time, those thoughts evoked not just physical reaction to your body, but in fact, conveying information to the outside world. You were pissed.
Yep.
Because it was loud, it was cold, and it was noisy, you know, it was bright. Okay? You conveyed information from thy brain to thy body to the outside world. Until you did that, the outside world was unaware that, in fact, that thought had occurred. And as a matter of fact, as you got older, you learned more and more to maintain that particular set of circumstances. Not every thought would provoke a physical response, and not every thought was shared.
Okay.
Those thoughts remain, thank God, within thy brain unless you wish to share them. And in many cases, the vast majority of cases, you will never do so. Those thoughts remain yours. They remain locked away from anybody else's awareness or knowledge. And in fact, if somebody were to come up to you and attempt to take those thoughts, you would find that attempt to not only be horrifyingly abusive, but an extreme invasion of your privacy. That's where privacy starts. Your thoughts are yours. They don't belong to anybody else. And any attempt to take those thoughts would be considered an assault. An assault of the most egregious kind. Because we have learned as human beings that those thoughts, no matter how pious we are in fact horrible nightmares in the real world. And because we are careful adults and understanding that those thoughts do not have a proper place in society, nor even in our own minds, we do a pretty good job of censoring them and making sure those type of thoughts don't crop up in our heads anyways. But occasionally, like me, millions and millions of people are alive today because I'm not in charge.
Yeah,
so those
right.
certain thoughts do, in fact, pop into my head. And apparently in Jimmy Carter's head, too. So, even in the most pious, those thoughts do appear. Those thoughts are ours. They are not anybody else's. They are not subject to the whim of government or others. And to attempt to take them is an assault upon ourselves and upon our person that we would find to be the most egregious of kind. It is the essence of privacy. It is the essence of self. And that is where privacy starts. And because privacy, those thoughts, by nature, are tied to us physically, in many cases, those thoughts provoke physical reaction in our physical body, okay, that we also seek to maintain a certain level of barrier between ourselves and the outside world. And for those of you that are trying to think of some kind of example, I will just suggest to you that I don't usually go to the bathroom during these shows. Let me tell you, when I get those thoughts in my head and it has a physical reaction, I try to keep it from you people.
Okay? Be grateful.
And be grateful. Sometimes TMI is, in fact, TMI.
There you go.
Okay? So, it is the thought that creates the action that, in fact, maintains its characteristic that it is meant to be ours. Not to be shared, not to be outside of us. It is to remain private to ourselves. And it is the next step from that thought that there is a space necessary for those private thoughts and private actions to be able to be expressed. A space that we have decided is a castle that the government doesn't have a right to step into, that it doesn't have a right to jump into without really good cause. And that process of maintaining that space for ourselves to have our private thoughts, to have our private actions, constitutes the next level of privacy. And that's where we get the idea that our castle is inviolable. It's a place where the government doesn't have any authority to step into, again, without really good cause. Okay? So there is a stepwise progression as far as privacy is concerned. It starts with the most basic of places. It's that thought that goes on in your head that you don't share with anybody else, you don't express in any way, that you simply go, I think I want to figure out where that thought came from and squelch that particular line of thought right away. But because it's inappropriate. and we censor that way, and after a long time of censoring, those thoughts don't come to us anymore because our brain has simply learned not to do so. We have taught ourselves to be adults. And those things
or brainwashed.
Or brainwashed, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, that is the place where privacy starts. Okay. I don't need to go to the Constitution. I don't need to go to anywhere else, you know, to come up with that. It is a basic biological process that establishes that, in fact, that those. yes, I did have to, as a matter of fact. Somebody wanted to know why I was picking on, you know, the Southern Baptists.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because I love you guys. You guys are great. Can somebody please explain to me why they're trying to recriminalize homosexuality in the South? Idiots. God damn. Because I don't think it's the Protestants. Really. I don't think so. So, anyways, that is my thought as far as the root of privacy that it comes to. And then you can probably understand why abortion comes into, yes, as a matter of fact, Louise Amado, that's exactly what I'm doing. He hit upon it. That's why, that's the place why I wanted to actually stay away from that particular part of the conversation, because it does, in fact, deal with that concept of viability.
Mm-hmm.
So we won't go there, but it is. But what I wanted to do was to focus in on the privacy issue. So I'm continuing my work on that book. I really would like to finish it this year.
Good luck.
I would like to finish it
this year. Yeah, really.
I wrote 5 chapters and then realized that I had made an assumption about 3 of them.
Mm.
So I had to go back, and I've already written 3 chapters to go in front of the first 5.
I see.
I realized that I've made some assumptions about, you know, biological processes in the brain of the fetus, and so I'm doing a whole chapter on brain development.
Oh, I see.
I've got to suggest that, you know, maybe this is why, you know, what's his name, George Lucas did, you know, episode 4, 5, and 6 of Star Wars before he did 1, 2, and 3. You know, he just got into it and then realized, I need to explain some of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this is actually not episode 1, 2, and 3. It's actually 2, 3, and 4. Yeah, that one. This is actually 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, exactly.
4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
That's my problem was, you know, right now chapter 1 is chapter 7.
Ah, got it.
Man,
okay.
Come on.
Yeah, I know.
because I do. That's the problem is we make a whole lot of assumptions that in fact, we do.
Yeah.
That I felt like we can't. You know, I personally have to look at the process, not just from a singular biological point of view. Because, of course, I've used the word Sathuma with you, right?
Mm.
Have you heard that word from me, Sathuma?
No, I don't think so.
Now, that's fine, because you won't find it in any book.
Oh, good.
Sathuma is, in fact, my own word.
Cool.
I made up the word a long time ago. It's called Sathuma. S-E-E-T-H-U-M-A. Sathuma.
Okay.
And I use it as a placeholder for the concept of, well, can I not do Sathuma? Sathuma can be done anywhere.
Yes, you have mentioned that. I have seen that before. Yes.
Sathuma can be done in public or in private.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that see it when it's done in public are very aghast, and they do not want it to be exposed to children. Sathuma takes a lot of energy. Sathuma is a lot of fun. Sathuma needs some room, so I have a quarter acre, so I can do plenty of Sathuma. Now the question is, do I have a right to do Sathuma? It's certainly not in the Constitution. It's not even in our homeowners association rules and regulations that I can do Sathuma.
Uh-huh. Oh, also not
does
in
that
there
mean that
you
I can't.
But...
Does that mean that I need to have the rule or the law that says I can do Suthuma before Suthuma can be done? So the question becomes, what is Suthuma? Well, that's a rather interesting question. I spend a whole chapter on deciding what
Suthuma
is. So, but that's the point is, okay, no wait, I need to stop.
Yeah. Hello?
I'm just reading here. Oh. Let me see. Oh, I actually spelled it for you. You're asking. All right. Where is there spirit anywhere a factor in your thought? Well, that's rather kind of interesting. Boy, we're going to get a way afield here today. That's okay.
Well, you only got 15 minutes to do it in.
Yeah, we got 15. I can do it.
Yeah.
Everyone here knows that I'm agnostic.
Well, I do. I don't know if everybody does, but I do.
I think everybody, anybody that pays any attention to me knows that I'm, in any stretch of the imagination, knows that I'm agnostic. Okay? That doesn't mean that I disbelieve in the concept of God. Agnostic is not atheistic. An agnostic means that there is, in fact, a creator. The only problem is we don't generally believe that there's any way to determine what the characteristics of the creator are. And the easiest way that I can do it is if you name that which created the universe God, then you and I can agree that God exists. Because I believe the universe was created. Okay? Oh, S-E-E-T-H-U-M-A. So if you believe that the universe was created, and I do, and that process or that essence of creation came from a source, then we can agree that source, if you want to name it God, that's perfectly fine by me. If you want to name it Suthuma, that's perfectly fine by me too. And if you want to name it, you know, Dale Earnhardt, that's fine. We can agree that Dale Earnhardt exists. What it means, though, is that beyond that, I don't have any particular opinion about the characteristics of God. But it does mean that there is, in fact, something more than the physical universe. Now, the question is, what is more than this physical universe? Well, it is quite apparent by anybody that pays any attention to biology in humans that we are, in fact, more than the sum of our parts. And that you can have a perfectly viable human being, human body, functioning in every particular way and have no lights on the inside. And yet you can have a body that is, in fact, a slab of meat that has absolutely nothing worth capable of doing and yet is still human, is still a person, is still a personality, is still, you know, in essence, all there. I believe that we are more than that. We are more than just a slab of meat. And that when we cease to exist physically, our essence has substance. In the sense that it has energy. We have a spirit. You can call it a spirit. No, that's fine by me. I don't have any problems with that. But in fact, it's there. It is the essence of self. So I don't think that there's any... I don't have any particular problem with that. So... there is... a lot to be said about rights. It's rather important, I think, more than... No! No P! There's no P in Suthuma! P! P! P, 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 P! No P! P!
Just me, Pam, together, right?
she spell it? All I see is Louisa Mouse spelling it.
S-E-E-T-H-U-M-A?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's Susuma. Oh, jeez. Louisa Mouse, am I speaking that bad? Okay. We need to establish ourselves, in my opinion, conservatives as a whole, need to establish quite clearly the source of those rights. If you want to leave it that God gave us those rights, fine. You know, if that works for you, that's fine. But we end up with situations where you have a Rush Limbaugh, who should know better, talking about rights enumerated in the Constitution. Jiminy Cricket, man, what's the matter with you? Okay. The Constitution does not grant any rights. Everybody that hears this voice right now on this show knows that the Constitution does not grant any rights.
Nope, absolutely not.
Okay.
So, it enumerated some of them.
It enumerated some of them.
Yep.
So anytime you hear anybody, and I don't care if it's a Rush Limbaugh, I don't care if it's a Glenn Beck, I don't care if it's, you know, the most important, I don't care if it's a Sarah Palin, you know, you hear somebody say that, you know, it's not in the Constitution, so it doesn't exist. I want you to go up and slap them upside the back of the head and go, duh,
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah.
Constitution doesn't give them any rights. Get it straight.
Yep.
Okay. So, all right. What else are we supposed to talk about? We talked about Kagan. We talked about rights. We talked about the mainstream press. We haven't talked about the oil spill. It's a mess.
You know, it is a mess. However, today, apparently, Obama has invited some foreign nations in to help. Day 70.
Hot damn, 70 days. Good job.
70 days. Been on top of it since day one, by God. You betcha, Red Rider.
Hey, well, at least he did it faster than Afghanistan.
Well, that's true. That's true.
I started thinking, you know what? There's a way to get Obama to do things fast. Call him an idiot. Who knew?
Yeah, really.
You get him to do things. You just call him an idiot.
Yeah. And then he'll jump right on it.
He'll jump right into it.
Yep. Yep.
70 days. Did he revoke the Jones Act, or did he just?
No. I don't believe so. At least I haven't heard that he has.
Okay.
And I also understand that the AWOL is still not authorized.
This man has gone beyond the concept of, you know,
yes,
screwing shit up.
Oh, man, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, my understanding of the AWOL is it collects 99% of the oil.
Yep,
the problem is EPA has got a problem with that other 1%. Can't go back into the Gulf.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, they can't catch it all.
Yep.
That's,
so, by God, if we can't catch it all, we aren't going to catch any of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Well,
that's,
you know,
right.
Obama has said it.
Yeah,
we will have
there you
no
go.
More drilling unless we can absolutely protect, you know, guarantee that it won't spill again.
Yep.
Well, you know, the only absolute in life is that it ends.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's not too many other absolutions.
not a lot.
Okay. And, you know, we'll find out what the effect of the tropical storm has on in the next couple of days.
I understand that they have cut down some of the recovery just because...
Right, because there was so much, the water's been so stirred up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the economy for a few minutes. We have...
Oh, boy, yeah. We don't have enough time, but yeah, let's talk about it.
But for those of you not paying a whole lot of attention, there are three things that happened in the last... 40 hours or so that are interesting. And, you know, was it yesterday that I suggested to you, or was it Sunday? I think it was yesterday I said it to you. After I read something, I suggested to William that the time is to get back out of the market.
Yep, that was yesterday.
It was yesterday? I said
yep.
It. And I'll tell you what I saw. It's the second item of the following three. Home sales are crashing.
Yes.
Duh.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Didn't know that was coming.
Yep.
Okay.
And incidentally, that's not just new home sales. Apparently, used home sales, fell 2% also.
Yeah, it's across the board. It's across the board. The only one that doesn't seem to get hit as bad as everyone else was California, because apparently you guys, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, added $10,000 to the pot for new home buyers.
Oh, really?
Isn't that wonderful? I didn't know that was going on in there.
Jeez.
You didn't know that was going on in there.
I didn't know that was going on.
Because, of course, California has so much money to spread out.
Yeah.
Home sales are crashing.
Yes, they are.
Everybody expected that. That was kind of like, you know, something that usually doesn't happen during the summer. Consumer confidence during the summer has a tendency to go up. Simply because everybody's going on vacation, everybody's happy, everybody's going all kinds of good stuff. The weather is nice, they're out doing barbecues. People are smiling, people are buying hot dogs and such like that. Consumer confidence almost always goes up in the summer. And it's crashing.
Yes. Fell 10 points.
Yeah, it's like everybody kind of went,
The
summer, we're all dead.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what happened, but apparently that's what happened. You know?
Yep.
Arkansas Traveler, secure the blessings. Secure. Protect. Make sure that they are safe. It's not granting. Make sure they're okay.
Yeah,
government's
going
to be there to make sure that everything's okay. Secure. All right, so what
Get
drove
right,
me
Trav.
Crazy? What drove me crazy? Here's what drove me crazy.
Okay.
We have 3 minutes. I'm going to be able to fit it in.
You better get there.
Recent sales of sovereign debt, which in the United States tends to be treasury notes, and in other countries, are based on basis points. Which is basically a hundredth of a point of interest.
Yes.
So if somebody says 350 basis points, it usually means 3.5%.
Yes.
Just so, you know, it's pretty simple to do. If they say it's 285 basis points, then it's 2.85%. You know, that's kind of where it is. All right, so it's pretty simple, easy to do. Here's the funny thing. We know that there are some countries in Europe that are having some significant problems. And the interest rates for those countries, including Spain, Greece, Italy, are actually rose significantly last week. In most cases, up into the 300 basis points area. Here's what I noticed. The United States sovereign debt is about 80 basis points higher. Now, there are two things that would cause sovereign debt in the United States to be higher. There is so many people buying American sovereign debt that it's driving the price down. And for those of you that don't know, when it comes to debt instruments, price down, interest rate up.
Yeah, it's inversely proportional.
Interest rate down, price goes up. So if there's lots of people buying sovereign debt in the United States, it's going to drive the price down, thereby pushing the price up. The other thing that could be worried is that people that think that interest rates are going to go higher or there's a greater risk of default, so therefore they want a higher premium on the money that they're putting into the notes.
Mm-hmm.
And which do you think it is in the United States?
Well, at this point, we're a safe haven because everything
I'll give you a hint.
Hmm?
I'll give you a hint. There was less buyers.
Ooh. Ouch.
And that's what I saw.
Ouch.
36 seconds, dude. Say goodnight.
Okay. Just me, Pammy, Arkansas Traveler, Mama Gurkha, Louisa Ma. All the rest of you that listened in, thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. We're going to go to the green room. You can catch that on the podcast.
catch us on the podcast if you want to listen in on the Green Room. It'll be up in a little while. Too bad. Bill, have a week. We'll talk to you next.
You too, Tracy.
I shouldn't need the bumper music on. We'll do that next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Green Room time.
All righty. You know, the other thing that happened?
What?
They took down, actually reduced, the GDP growth down to 2.7.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yep.
They revised it down again.
Yep. Yep. And we're going to get a bump next reporting period. We're going to get a bump in unemployment.
Oh, yeah. That's gonna be not so pretty.
Yep. Yep.
Not going to be so pretty.
Yeah.
But I noticed all of the interest rates across the board, all the sovereign debt for last week showed a relatively nice bump across the board just about everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
50 to 80 basis points across the board. But what they were talking about was demand on the American debt was actually down just a little bit.
That is not a good sign.
That's not the sign that I was looking for. Because, of course, as I suggested, if the demand is up, that can push the prices down, causing the interest rates to go up. But if demand is down and the interest rates go and the basis points go up, that can only mean one thing. People are getting more worried.
Yep.
Add that to the consumer confidence issue. The two numbers, which were reported very much separately and in different places, were basically overlapping time frames, suggest that the underlying current in society, both, in Asia, Europe, and the United States at this point, is I was going to say discomfort, but not discomfort, is disquiet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Incidentally, did you happen to read that report? Japan's unemployment rate went back up again, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they play with their numbers as we do. I mean, I don't know that they don't either, but...
There's more and more of the minor things that are suggesting that, are not good. And I just looked at those numbers and said, you start putting all these things together and, I was thinking maybe, sometime in the fall things would really show its, show up really bad, but I don't think we're going to get that far. I think we're going to be 08.
It's problematical. I mean, at this point, it truly is problematical. At this point, I got to tell you, I don't know how the federal government is going to massage the figures to make it look good. I mean, in order to massage the numbers, you got to have some numbers to work with, and I don't see them there. I don't see them there.
No,
and we come up at a quarter end tomorrow.
Yeah, suggestions are that the census count is going extremely bad.
Yeah. Yeah, who was it? A couple of supervisors in Brooklyn got fired over falsifying 10,000 questionnaires.
Yeah, I heard that, but I didn't know the details of it.
Well, I didn't click through on the article. I just saw it as a tweet. But it linked to an article. I don't know what it was. I'm just saying, that's just another indication that things are not going well. I mean, that's Brooklyn, for God's sake. I mean, it's not like they're out here in the country where they got a search force. Everybody's pretty much up front out there.
the Sorry, I was thinking about the idea that how much massaging of our numbers that we do.
Yep.
And it is extreme, but at the same token, it depends on how you want to look at it. Because, you know, somebody was talking about life expectancy again. This is a conversation actually sometime last week. About, you know, how life expectancy in Europe is much higher than the United States. And I'm sitting there like going, okay, first of all, they don't count any deaths in the first year.
Right.
They don't count certain classifications of accidental deaths.
Right.
And as far as I know, you know, from the point a child is born to the point a person dies, we count all of them as dead.
That's my understanding.
You know, which means we're going to show a higher death count for any age group than, you know, any other country that doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have to take consideration the vast number of people that are coming to this country that are not of this country.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And it's not that I'm suggesting that the people that are coming to this country are more infirm than the people that are here. Quite to the contrary. We have the bigger risk takers coming into this country.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Which means the big risk takers are leaving other countries, thereby lessening their risk levels, and
mm-hmm.
coming to this country and taking bigger risks because we encourage that.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we have greater numbers of risks going on.
Yes, we do.
And yes, we kill each other quite a bit.
Yeah, we do.
But I'm not, nobody wants to suggest that, you know, if black-on-black violence was consistent with the amount of violence that goes on white-on-white, that it would probably have a noticeable impact on our life expectancies, and certainly would have a noticeable impact on our, you know, crime rates.
Absolutely.
And apparently, in some states, illegal immigration causes so much crime that if, you know, we can get rid of the illegal immigrants, you know, crime would practically fall to, you know,
yep,
you know, pacifist levels.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I quit paying attention to the WHO reports when I figured out that not everybody was reporting the same thing. And at that point, their reports became worthless. I mean, they didn't give me useful information.
You can't compare. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
There are so many places where the numbers are not simply comparable. And so I'm just not. Those discussions are odd places to go.
You can't have a discussion about them because they aren't comparing the same things. I mean, you know, I'm sitting here talking bananas and somebody over there is talking about pineapples. Okay, gosh, that's really nice. I like both of them, but it doesn't give me any useful information.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do. Next time I get in the conversation, is say, shut up. We're not talking about the same things.
Exactly.
somebody said this to me. Why are you having this conversation? Why don't you just tell the person, you know, if the person is just saying absolute stupidity, why don't you just tell them to shut the fuck up? So I said to the person who had interfered in the middle of the conversation and who I understood was the thing, I just said, shut the fuck up. And he went, okay. All right, so
yep.
Economy is, I think you and I have reached our consensus. The shoe has dropped. It has hit.
Yep.
We're just not certain where it hit, how hard it hit, and what's going to happen next.
Do you happen to follow Greg W. Howard?
I do.
Okay. Because he's got some occasional useful tweets on economic stuff. I was struck by today the market declined by 268 points, and it's down it's sitting down at 9,870 at this point. And I thought, okay, now we're below the magic 10,000, closing in on 9. I don't know. It's problematical here. I'm glad I'm out of the market.
No, Greg usually actually points to either Naked Capitalism.
Yep.
And who I've been reading for years. Barry Reinholtz, who I've been reading for years.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the people that I probably spend more of my time reading economic stuff than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and they usually link off to things that that interest me. Has a recurring thing on Saturdays. Invites newsletter writers or managers to speak on a specific topic. I always find those things to be rather interesting. They tend to be much more detailed, much more technical about things. They went into a pretty Barry did actually a pretty extensive. It wasn't Barry. What's his name? He invited somebody in to talk about housing over the weekend. And a discussion on housing prices. And their expectation is another 20 to 30% down on housings. From this particular point, the argument was that we had a three standard deviation to the upside move, and generally speaking, it doesn't revert to mean. It actually reverts to a similar magnitude to the bottom side. Well, three standard deviation to the negative side would mean that our house that we bought at $220,000
mm-hmm.
7 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Whose price was $325,000 2.5 years ago, would be worth somewhere in the vicinity of about $100,000 at three standard deviations to the mean on the bottom side. That would suggest to me that a fair amount of the housing stock here would be in the $50,000 and $60,000 range, and California might actually see, believe it or not, well, I know it's actually seeing it now, houses under $100,000 in California.
Oh my God!
I know there are places that already have that, but those are the most significantly impacted places, of the bubble, where they just built, 15,000 homes and,
mm-hmm.
Created a town that didn't exist there 5 years before.
Yeah, exactly.
There are places in California where you can buy a house for under $100,000 now, but we're talking about places like San Diego or San Francisco, well, not actually San Francisco, but areas around San Francisco, areas around L.A. where you would actually find, in what would be considered to be reasonable neighborhoods, $100,000 homes.
Oh my gosh!
Well, that kind of suggestion that prices could go that low. Frankly, I don't think it could happen.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of destruction in the housing market would precipitate a severe depression.
Oh yeah.
A severe depression. Now the question is, would the housing market push the depression there, or would the depression caused the housing market to go down to that level. You know, 3 standard deviations below the mean. Egad.
Yeah, that's like a tongue.
You know, yeah. I don't think it's possible. You know, can you imagine houses being bought for twice, you know, the median income? Because that's what it would be, twice the median income.
You know, that used to be the old rule of thumb.
Three times the median income.
Three times.
That's the mean. Three times. Three times income. One third of your, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I understand it. Huh.
So,
yeah.
You know, so you make $50,000 a year. $150,000 is about the best you can do.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the point where $50,000 was buying $500,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Full figure.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Tell me who goes broke on that one. You betcha.
No, I'll tell you flat out, we were between 3 and 4 when we bought this house.
Were you?
Yeah. Hmm. We were a little high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was not closer to 4 than it was to 3. We were at 70. No, it was almost exactly 3. Sorry. It was almost exactly 3. We weren't that high. We were later when we refinanced up.
Ah, got it.
But not at the time we bought. So, two times the mean in this house would be $140,000 at the time we bought.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than that, you know, would be pretty significant. You know, I don't know where housing prices are going to go. All I know is that they're going to go down farther.
Absolutely. You know, you have to be really careful working with means and average, too, though.
Right, because, you know, there are so many different variations depending on communities and cities and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Where it just doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
But at the same token, the thing that I've always used whenever I was going anywhere and looking at houses, the first thing I did...
Mm-hmm.
was picked up a newspaper and looked at what the rental prices were.
Yep. Yep.
You know, 10 times rent. You know, that was what I looked at. You
mm-hmm.
know, rent was $1,700, you know, then I'm looking at a $170,000 house. Anything over that, it would be crazy. Now, in California, it was not unusual to take that $1,700 a month times 12, which would give you about $210,000, or $21,000, and then 10 times that would be 2.25, somewhere in that area. So it would not be unusual to be that place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could see a house in some of the higher price areas, you know, $210,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if I went into a neighborhood where the homes were renting for $1,700, and I saw, you know, houses selling for $350, you know, $400,000, they were way overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anything else said, you know, their carrying costs were higher than rental costs. It simply didn't make any sense for it to be there.
Right.
And
exactly.
The prices were out of range. In California, you know. The numbers were just batshit crazy.
Yeah, really.
You know, cause you see a house that will rent for, you know, $2,000, you know, a month, and it's selling for $750,000. You're sitting there like going, "That's nuts."
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There's nothing in the world that would say that the house should be worth $750,000.
I know. Yep.
But it was happening all the time. California is getting better. But it's still got a long way to go. But even here, we still haven't fallen to that mean.
Hmm.
You know, my house should rent for about, based on everyone else out here, is somewhere around $1,500 a month. You know, but that puts the house price at between $150,000 and $180,000. That's $100,000 under what we owe it. That's more information I probably should be giving out, but that's the reality.
There you go.
If you want to do a little digging, you can find that in this community as far as prices are concerned. So, in any case, you know, can housing prices go that low? I don't think three standard deviations is possible, but 1.5 or 2 would do a significant amount of damage because we've got to double what we've already lost to get to that point.
Sure.
That's a huge quantity.
Oh, yeah.
That's just all kinds of
I know.
Anyway, so that's what I saw with the interest rates.
Hmm.
Interest rates are climbing. There's no way around the fact that if interest rates are climbing as far as the sovereign debt is concerned, that means mortgage rates have nowhere to go but up.
Unfortunately, that's true. I'm not sure exactly where that all ends. I just don't know. I'm sitting here shaking my head saying, boy, you know, I know it has to end sometime. I just don't know where.
It's going to end badly, William.
It's already bad. Okay. And I'm sitting here saying, looking at the property next door, because they're probably going to be selling, and saying, you know what? I think I might just take a flyer on that.
Think about picking it up?
Yep. I can get between $700 and $900 a month rent out of it.
Oh, so you can pick it up for the right price.
Well, yeah. That's always the question. And if I can, okay, fine. If I can't, then actually it's more my lady's my idea than mine, but once I sit down and think about it a little bit, yeah, that maybe makes some sense. Charge me an 8% management fee for it, and I don't have to do anything other than supply any money for repairs and that kind of stuff. So. I don't know. We'll see. I'm certainly willing to look at it.
Well, that's a reasonable point. I mean, if I go into San Diego and I see houses selling under $100,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Basically, I'll be working her butt off for the next year. So,
yeah.
The move is still on. Cool. Looks like I've got in my head the 20th of July.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We bought the truck today.
Cool.
It is a 2000 Mercury Mountaineer. V8. No leaks.
Ooh.
No problems. Transmission is in good shape, no leaks, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
Got to put a hitch on it, and I got it for $1,000 less than I had was allowing.
Ooh.
So
wow,
I was. So that's $1,000 that I saved. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you betcha.
Bunch of people coming in with things. I want to be busy this week with our own clients. Yay!
Yay! Yay! How's the rest of your business holding up?
My business is doing okay. I actually sat down today, this morning, and actually figured out how I've been doing this year.
Yeah.
On average, so far this year, I have earned $200 a month more than we need to come in per month.
Cool.
So not
cool.
Not a cushion that I want, but
no, but nevertheless a cushion.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We're my income is averaging more than we need to be able to live. My opinion is what we need to live.
Yeah. Got it.
So,
excellent.
Yeah. You know, some months we're kind of back and forth here and stuff like that, but otherwise we're fine. And I did pick up a new client, so that's fine.
Yep. That'll add
you know, all things considered, it seems to be okay. I'd like to be able to go into California with a bigger buffer than I have, but you know, we'll see how the next couple of weeks turn out. We had our first garage sale over the weekend.
Oh, cool.
We ended up taking Sunday off, and all three of us basically slept all day Sunday.
Yeah, did you really? Yeah, very good.
You know, Friday and Saturday with the garage sale, it just, you know, you spend most of the day just sitting there letting, you know, talking to people and stuff like that.
Yep, yep.
But, I mean, it just kicked us all.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, yeah.
All three of us.
Yep.
White.
Yep.
So,
well, you know, apparently this past weekend was a yard sale weekend. I saw a couple of people twittering about yard sales, going to them and holding them.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, you know, they're scattered around, so who knows where they were, but apparently the end of June is good weather most places, and people were taking advantage of that.
Shows off.
Okay, fine.
I don't know. I just got a signal on my system that said, you know, error, connection reset by host.
Ah,
and
got it.
I guess
they kicked us off then.
I think they kicked us off.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, so apparently the green room's over today.
Yeah, apparently. Jesus. Okay, Tracy, you have a good one. And,
hey, 4th of July weekend. You doing anything special?
4th of July? No, probably not. We're going to hang around Hay Fork. I'm waiting to see if there's going to be a parade or any fireworks or anything like that. But so far it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So it's like, man, so maybe what I'll do is I'll go on over to Reading. They've got a tea party thing that's going on over there. But other than that, nope, not a whole lot.
We had 7 people listening up today.
Cool. All right.
You know, let's see. Ooh. I've got all of June up, so we had 3, 8, 13, 3, 7. Archives 13, 11, 11, 8.
Oh well.
Yeah, as I said to somebody else today, you know, the show is absolutely about you and I having a conversation.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, that's all it is. We touch on things that people are thinking, but you know, for the most part it's just you and me talking.
Yeah.
And that's good. I like that.
Yeah.
It works for me. You betcha.
All right.
And
so we're out of there.
And you're thinking what about the 26th of July is when you're gonna make your big move?
20th.
Got it. Okay.
I don't know. When is that? 20th?
I don't know.
20th
I'm not by a calendar.
18. Well, today's the 29th.
Well, let's see. Thursday is the 1st of July. So that's got to be a Wednesday.
It would be a Tuesday. That's
Tuesday.
Kind of a weird day.
Hmm.
No, I understand. No, yeah, because we'll leave midweek.
Yeah.
And then get into California on a Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
And be looking at places on Monday.
Okay.
You know, my goal would be to find somebody that is got a house that really would like to have somebody in August 1st, and they're kind of desperate. You know.
Are you checking the classifieds? Usually those are free to pull up. Are you checking the classifieds in the area that you're looking at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Price wise, I should be able to. Price wise, I'm probably going to be pretty much where I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a matter of, you know, the quality of something. We won't know the quality until we actually walk into it.
Yep, that's true.
We have a rough idea on the neighborhoods where some of the good neighborhoods and bad, you know, not so good neighborhoods are.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, as far as, you know, you can't tell really from the pictures whether you've got good quality or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But, you know, it looks like I should, you know, if I anything under 1700 would be great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go over 1700. You know, 1500 to 1700. You know, a nice house with a pool. Doesn't have to be big or special.
Yep.
You know, would be like seriously styling for us. You know, $1,500 a month is, you know, $1,000 a month less than we're paying here.
Cool.
You know, for a house in California with a pool.
Mm-hmm. And are those available? I mean, in that price range?
Yeah. I just don't know what the quality is.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah.
So,
okay.
So, you know, I'm not talking about lots of them. You know,
mm-hmm.
lots of them in the 2,000 range. Tons and tons and tons of them in the 2,000 range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fewer in the $1,500 to $1,700 range, but they're there.
Okay.
So, like I said, my idea is I'm hoping that we'll pull into town and find somebody really desperate to get somebody in on August 1st.
Yeah, there you go.
You know,
yep.
And then we can get in right, you know, we'll be able to get in practically, you know, within a couple of days of getting out there. And, you know, go from there. As soon as we're in, you know, Victoria, probably within the first week of us being in there, we'll get CJ set up for school, and Victoria will be set up with the nephrologist.
Yeah. Yep.
Boy.
Which means that she's probably also going to go on dialysis at the same time.
Well, yeah, exactly. The whole premise would be to get her set up for being on dialysis as soon as we can get it set up.
Yep, exactly.
So, you know, and that's, you know, so be it.
It is what it is, Tracy. Come on.
Yep.
I know. Jesus. All righty.
All right.
Well, have a good one, and I will talk to you.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.